ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN Newsline, Bob Agnew in Washington, we've got breaking news, a major story in the nation's capital at this hour. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy has announced his retirement, giving President Trump the chance to cement conservative control over the high court. The 81-year-old Kennedy said in a statement he's stepping down after more than 30 years on the court. A Republican appointee, he has held a key vote on such high-profile issues as abortion, affirmative action, homosexual rights, guns, campaign finance, and voting rights. Over the years, Kennedy's departure will be a massive change for the high court. He has often been the crucial swing vote for more than a decade, siding with the liberal justices on homosexual rights and abortion rights. There have also been a few cases where he also was a key swing vote when conservatives came out on top. The Supreme Court says government workers cannot be forced to contribute to labor unions that represent them in collective bargaining that deals a serious financial blow to unions. This is SRN News.
We're expecting around a 30% chance of isolated thunderstorms today and a high of 92 degrees. This evening, the rain chance decreases, partly cloudy and an overnight low of 76. And tomorrow, a strong chance of afternoon rain, our high tomorrow, 94 degrees.
Hey guys, it's Doug McCary from SWAT Radio. Hey, Brad and I will be ministering and spending time with our families for the next few weeks. So join us in listening to some of our listener favorites from this past year. We'll be listening to programs about sharing your faith, discipleship, and what it means to follow Jesus. We'll be back live in a few weeks, so have a great summer. And remember, whatever you do, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Liftoff. Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary from His Light. And it's Wednesday afternoon. Doug, it's springtime. And makes me want to, you know, I'm looking forward to some summertime already.
Yeah, it's really warm. And, you know, I guess the big news of the day is we say goodbye here to someone who God used greatly to carry the good news to 180-something countries.
Billy Graham. How many millions of people?
Billy Graham passed away today. And, you know,
215 million people who attended one of his more than 400 crusades.
Yeah.
215 million people.
But you know what made his crusade so incredible was the fact that Billy, when he was in North Carolina, would dress up in disguise and go to the Denny's restaurant and sit in the back and look for people and try to engage people in disguise and share the gospel with them. Because he did not want people just to respond to him because he was Billy Graham, but because he was just cared about who they were and he wanted them to hear the message. He was much more concerned about the message than they know him. And, you know, which is unlike our culture today, which, you know, we believe that would be a platform.
Yeah.
I've been all over the world and I've done all this stuff and, you know.
Now I'm somebody.
Listen to me. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. He dressed in disguise and went down there and did that. And, you know, there's lots of, it's just kind of funny. Everybody is telling their, I met Billy Graham, stories.
I was going to ask you, you never got to meet him. I know there was a time.
No,
when it looked,
no,
I
almost met Billy Graham's story. I actually was, one of my mentors was a guy named Calvin Thielman. Calvin was actually Billy's pastor. Billy and his wife went to Montreat Presbyterian Church up in Montreat, North Carolina. And it's right outside where the Cove is, close to
beautiful.
It in Asheville.
I was just up there.
And so Calvin, it was he was such a good guy. Calvin used to take care of Billy's kids when he and Ruth would go on his crusade visits in other countries. So Calvin would watch over their kids and take care of them. And it was interesting that Calvin always wanted me to meet Billy. He goes, I want to get you. You're an evangelist. I want you to meet Billy. And so he would work on it, and it always just seemed to fall through. And I remember this one time I was up there, and we were supposed to meet and have lunch, and we ended up having I met Ruth several times, got to have lunch with her. She was a great lady. I remember one time Lori was struggling because it seemed like every time we were living in this house on the river, and every time I would go to Russia, snakes would appear. I mean, literally, moccasins would come up, and it was really freaky, almost like a spiritual thing. And so I was telling Ruth Graham about it over lunch and just saying, you know, I know Billy travels a lot. You know, did you ever have anything like that? And you know, I was sharing with her about Lori and what she's dealing with. She says, I said, what would you do? She said, I'd just kill those snakes. I mean, she just like, but she gave a great tip, because I said, you know, with young kids, when you're traveling, you know, like your husband's traveling and your mom of young kids, what do you do to stay in the Word? Because it's so hard to have the time. And she said, I would put Bibles out all over the house and open them up to different places. And then if I had a child in my arm, the Bible was already there, and I would just read what was there. And it was really a good tip, you know, from her. Sweet lady. Her parents were missionaries over in China. And so anyway, so this one time I was supposed to meet with Billy, and he canceled. And I was disappointed, obviously, because I was really excited about meeting with him. And I'm on my way to the airport to come back because I had a prior commitment. And he called Calvin and said, hey, has that guy left yet? And Calvin said, I don't think so. And he said, well, call him. I was able to cancel my appointment, the thing that popped up, and reschedule it. So tell him I can meet for an hour. And so he called me, and I was about 5 minutes from the airport, and I was just praying about it, and I waited. I mean, do I blow my commitment that I made a commitment to go be at this place and come back and say it was for a good reason because I got to spend an hour with Billy Graham, or do I? And as I prayed about it, I just felt like, you know what? Every time I tried to meet with him, God didn't want it to work, and now here I am. And I've got this commitment to go do this thing, or I go visit with Billy. And I just really felt like God did not want me to do it. And I ended up never getting to meet him. But that's okay. I've met somebody better. I met Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's kind of the point for me.
One day.
I think that was a point for me, is that sometimes we get so enamored with the people God uses that I was thinking about all these people. And if Billy were here right now, I guarantee you, especially after seeing what he's seen for the last few hours, he would say, don't tell people about the day you met me. Tell people about the day you met Jesus.
Oh, man. That's so true.
I mean, tell people about the day you met Jesus, because that's the problem with us. We don't tell people about the day we met Jesus. And he would want us to do that.
We're so impressed with man, aren't we, Doug?
Yeah, we are.
and we were talking about it just before we came on the air, just about how, you know, lots of people would say Billy Graham's greatest evangelist ever. He would not say that. That is not how he would describe himself, likely.
He would say, I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Yeah, amen.
I love Franklin Graham sent out something that was a quote from Revelation 14, and it says that, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, blessed indeed, say the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor, for their deeds follow them. And Billy Graham is a man who faithfully preached in a lot of places. He gave his life. If you've not had a chance to go up to the library to see the faithfulness of how God used him. He was, I think, reluctant to have that at first because he didn't want it to be a shrine.
Oh, up in Asheville?
Yeah.
There?
But at the Cove? Charlotte. Actually, it's
in Charlotte. Okay.
They moved a lot of that stuff to Charlotte. But what it's an example of is a faithful man who preached the gospel. And he preached the gospel wherever God would give him opportunities. And that's why we can't recreate Billy Graham. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't want to. Mm. He had one Billy Graham. He had one Billy Sunday, one
R.C. Sproul, who we lost in the last,
I mean, so I think as we celebrate the life of Billy, if you really want to celebrate Billy Graham's life and give a memorial to him, don't send flowers. Don't send even a donation, although, I mean, I don't want to tell people not to donate to what they do. But the best way is tell one person in the next 24 hours about Jesus Christ. Well, wouldn't that be great that was a way to honor Billy?
You know, you said something a minute ago about the fact that in the last couple hours, what Billy has gotten to experience, what would he be telling us now? I remember speaking at my mother's funeral, and my mother was very passionate about University of Texas football. She loved her politics, and she was a passionate woman. And at her funeral, I told everybody there, they all knew her as being, you know, passionate about those things. But after a few hours, a few days in the presence of the Lord, she'd say, don't worry about that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, Erwin Lutzer wrote a book called 1 Minute After You Die. Mm. I would highly encourage you. It's a small little book, very impactful. 1 second after you die, or 1 minute. I think it's 1 minute after you die. And he just talks about what that initial moment might be like if you're a believer and if you're not a believer. Wow. And it is a really thought-provoking book, 1 minute after you die.
We're always given good book recommendations. Dr. Billy Graham gave his final crusade in June of 2005 at Flushing Meadows Corona Park in New York. This is what he said. I have one message. That Jesus Christ came, he died on a cross, he rose again, and he asked us to repent of our sins and receive him by faith as Lord and Savior. And if we do, we have forgiveness of all our sins. Mm. What a simple statement, you know?
Yeah.
People wonder how to share your faith right there.
Yeah, well, I love it. It's got, you know, if you go to the billygraham.org website, it basically takes you to a place for memorial events, and it's got Do You Know Christ? Find peace with God today. And that's where they take you. So I think they are going to have a service at that library in Charlotte. Not sure of the time yet, but, you know, anyway, I just am very grateful that that Billy did what he did and was appreciative of all his ministry. You know, he took a young man under his wing named Leighton Ford, who became his brother-in-law. And Leighton took me under his wing in 1996. And Leighton was greatly impacted by the ministry of Billy, and Leighton greatly impacted the ministry I have with his love and his care and his encouragement.
Now, Leighton was Billy's brother-in-law?
Yeah, he married Jeannie, Billy's sister. Okay. And the one thing I would remind our listeners as you're listening today, or even if you're listening later, is, you know, don't forget the personal element of that. You know, I can't imagine being in a family with somebody that would have that kind of media coverage or that kind of life, but who lived it with such integrity. You know, even Mike Pence was criticized for following, quote, the Billy Graham rule of never being alone with a woman, you know, in an elevator, in a car, wherever. And yet it was called the Billy Graham rule for a reason. That's Billy Graham has always traveled with people. He's always made sure that he's tried to live a life above reproach. And he would, by his own mouth, tell you he's not perfect, that he's flawed, just like we all are. But he has faithfully conducted ministry, and you know, Leighton was a guy that he took under his wing as a young teenage boy, and he liked him so much he introduced him to Jeannie. They married. So, but don't forget the personal element. These are family members, and it doesn't matter whether you're 90, whether you're 80, whether you're 70, 99, 100. This is a family member that has gone on. And so they're happy that he's with Jesus, because I think ever since Ruth left, he wanted to be with her, sure, which I understand that. But again, It's a great loss for our country, a great loss for the Christian community, that he's not around anymore.
Yeah. Well, he'll be missed.
Yes.
Greatly. We'll take a quick break. If you want to join us today, give us a call, 904-401-1413. If you're outside Jacksonville, 1-844-777-7928. If you want to send us an email, send that to ask@swatradio.com. And if, by the way, if you haven't downloaded the app, SWAT Radio, great app, very helpful tool.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with Doug McCary. Talking about Billy Graham. Dr. Billy Graham says here, a country boy turned world evangelist who prayed with every U.S. president from Harry S. Truman to Barack Obama. He was raised on a dairy farm in Charlotte. Back then, Billy Frank, as he was called, preferred baseball to religion. I detested going to church, he said when recalling his youth. Isn't it amazing, the power of God?
Well, my wife, Lori, actually trusted Christ watching a Billy Graham crusade.
Is that
on TV.
Right? How old was Lori?
I want to say 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think she can correct me. She'll probably text me if it's wrong. So,
let's see. Did you go to the crusade that he did here in Jacksonville? 99, I think it was? 1999?
No, I think I'd moved
to Texas.
You may
have already moved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've been to one of his events a long time ago. I can remember when he did events when they were not as big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they were growing before they hit the big stadiums. For some reason, I remember him. You know, he preached in Florida right down the road here.
That's right.
And I think he went to a seminary or some kind of Bible college here in Florida.
If you're listening out there, you have any good information on Dr. Billy Graham and his connection to Florida, give us a call.
Yeah.
904-401-1413.
Yeah, He certainly was a faithful servant. Oh, you know, and he is a guy who embodied.
Hang on a second. Here's what it says. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
So I was just reading through that. He said Graham's new. So several years later, this is after his open confession that he didn't like church. He said, I was opposed to evangelism. He said, but finally, I was persuaded by a friend to go to a meeting, and the Spirit of God began to speak to me as I went back night after night. One night when the invitation was given to accept Jesus, I just said, Lord, I'm going. I knew I was headed in a new direction. Several years later, Graham's new direction led him to the Florida Bible Institute, now Trinity College of Florida, and later Wheaton College in suburban Chicago.
So, yes, it was that decision in November of 1934 in Charlotte, North Carolina, where an evangelist named Mordecai Ham was mm-hmm. preaching. Now, Mordecai Ham was preaching in an event that was put together by businessmen in the Charlotte area who had been so moved by a young evangelist named Billy Sunday in 1924, 10 years earlier, that they put this outreach together that Billy ended up trusting Christ at. And Billy Sunday had been mentored by Wilbur Chapman, who had been mentored by Dwight Moody. How could I forget that? And then Moody was led to Christ by his Sunday school teacher, a guy named Edward Kimball in Chicago. And Edward Kimball, by his own admission, did a terrible job of sharing the gospel, but Moody trusted Christ, and you see this footprint. And like, so if you're out there listening and think you have to go do what Billy did in 108 countries to have an impact, Edward Kimball just shared with some teenage boys, and it ended up impacting Billy Graham, who by some means had probably shared the gospel in his lifetime more than anybody else in history. So he was a guy who preached the word. And I'll never forget, him sharing about how God opened the floodgates for him. It was after he struggled with God. And we talked about this today at SWAT, about struggling with our faith, and it's not necessarily struggling with faith per se, but it's struggling with aspects or maybe how God may be moving or something. And he was up on a hill, I think in California, and basically came to the decision, okay, the realization that God's word is true, and I'm going to live the rest of my life under the authority of the book, the Bible. And if you listen to Billy preach, whether you listen to him right shortly after that or even at the end of his life, he will say, the Bible says, the Bible says. That's the way he preached, because that was his source of authority. It was not his own opinion. It was not a pragmatic approach. It was always the Bible says, and he depended upon the authority of Scripture, and that's how he trained people.
He believed that if the word went out, it wouldn't return void. You know, it seems like we've lost a bit of that in trusting that the word, the Holy Spirit will move, as the word is preached.
Yeah. So, well, he lived a faithful life, and Lord, thank you for Billy. And we just look forward to all being together up there at that great feast.
Amen.
When you bring us home.
Amen.
So, Brad, as we think about even what we've been talking about this week, we've been talking about what our loyalty cost, the value, more valuable than our freedom from conflict, more valuable than our family, and even more valuable than our life or earthly pleasures. Now, when you think about what it means to give your life and sacrifice your life, that for a lot of people, they think that they would lay down their life for Jesus if they had to. But when we refuse to live for him, how would we ever die for him? And he's saying that if you're going to follow me, then you must be willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. And I think this is the crux of the issue for most people who follow Jesus. A lot of people lump this into what they would call a discipleship mentality rather than a salvation mentality. In other words, when they come into the family of God, well, that's for the people that really want to be deep. I just want to get in the front gate. I just want to get into heaven. I'm not really caring about how much I have in heaven, how big my house is up in heaven or whatever, that kind of language. The issue is for us, are we willing to lay our life down and deny ourselves? I just think that's a question we have to wrestle with. And as teachers and preachers, we need to be sharing that cost up front with people like Jesus did.
Amen. I mean, this is, I think there is a transaction approach to salvation. More than a transformation approach.
You mean it's a biblical one? Oh, right.
No, exactly. I mean that. I gave my life to Christ years ago, and now I can live the way I want to live because I know I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
When that's not really what salvation is. Salvation is not a transaction as much as it is a lifelong denying of yourself and allowing God's Spirit to transform you?
Well, it's I don't know what it is about, I mean, about the human condition. We will fight and claw and do everything to preserve our life, right? I mean, really, that's we hold on to life dearly most of the time. I would say in the majority of the time we're going to do that. And I think we get way too comfortable with the pleasures. And that's why when I talk about this principle of is it more valuable than our life or earthly pleasures, how many times have you shared the gospel with people and they ask you, well, do I have to stop this? Mm-hmm. Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Have you ever even thought that? I mean, is there anything in your life that you would be willing to put above Christ to say, I'll follow you to this point, Jesus, but I'm not going to follow you past here?
So is there anything you're unwilling to let go of for the cause of Christ?
Because if that's true, and it's not just the cause, it's the relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Is there anything really in your life that you're saying, I value more than Jesus? Mm. Because for most of us, whether we say it, our lives demonstrate it. And as we wrestle through this, we have to constantly be coming back to a point of repentance and saying, God, I'm sorry that I allowed this idol to pop up in my life. God, I'm sorry that I valued this over you. God, I'm sorry that instead of denying myself, I've been spending all my time seeking this earthly pleasure. It's just a point of bringing us back to what Matthew says in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those that mourn. You know, the mourning and the poor in spirit is a result of our realization that we're really not following him the way we should. And it kind of goes counter to this whole self-esteem movement that, you know what, we're good people inside, bro.
Well, that's exactly. Mm-hmm. I think there is a, not just a tendency, there is the majority of people. There's a country song out by Luke Bryan. He says something about, I believe most people are good. Well, that's not theologically accurate.
Yeah.
We are desperately wicked. You know, I mean, we just don't want to admit that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds a lot better, you know, when you tell me, hey, buddy, you know, that's a good guy. I've even to the point where, you know, if I'm describing Cody over here, I'll usually say, man, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm careful to use that word good. Not just for you, Cody. Hey, by the way, Cody is a good guy. He's just desperately wicked.
Well, you know why Cody's a good guy? Because Cody has Jesus in his heart.
His goodness is only.
Cody trusts Christ and Cody follows Christ. And that's what makes Cody, it's what makes you, that's what makes anybody have any positive stuff at all. Yeah. Because anything else is all self-motivated.
That's right. Cody's goodness has only been imputed to him by the one who is good.
Well, I think about the examples in Scripture. And you think about James, the half-brother of Jesus, Acts chapter 12. He was the first apostle to lose his life. Mm-hmm. Yet he was one of the inner three. And when that happened, do you think the other disciples were scratching their head going, am I next? Mm. Am I next? But yet there was something in those disciples that even prior to that moment, they were counting it joy that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. Is that our mindset? Is that something that we really want? Do we really want Christ? Listen, nobody wishes suffering on somebody. But the disciples were saying, thank you, Lord, for counting us worthy to suffer for you. I mean, I just think about that whole mindset. Or even in Acts 20, where Paul says, listen, don't cry over my departure. I'm ready to give my life for Christ. Because people were upset in Acts 20 about him going back to Jerusalem.
Right.
And he says, listen, I am willing to lay my life down because I so strongly believe in this. And I want to read that, Acts 20. How much time we got before we break? Are we close?
About 15 seconds.
Are we 20 seconds away? Acts 20:22. Let me read it, man. Or we can read it. I'll tell you what. We'll read it when we come back.
Yeah, Acts 20, verse 22.
Yeah, when we come back, we're going to come back with that because I just think looking at these faithful saints are good examples for us. And if this is not our attitude, we have to say, God, help grow this attitude in me.
Well, we have such a temporary view, you know, that we have only so much time. When you look at the impact Billy Graham had, you know, how many people he reached. So anyway, join us today, 1-844-777-7928. Locally, 904-401-1413, SWAT Radio.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy has announced his retirement, giving President Trump a golden chance to cement conservative control of the high court.
We will begin our search for a new justice of the United States Supreme Court that will begin immediately.
Reaction from Capitol Hill and correspondent Linda Kenyon.
After serving more than 30 years on the nation's highest court, Justice Kennedy says he's stepping down effective July 31st. Kennedy, who turns 82 in July, is the court's longest-serving member and the second-oldest justice after Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Some Republicans on Capitol Hill had been urging Justice Kennedy to make a decision on his retirement as soon as possible to give the GOP time to confirm his replacement before the midterm elections, this out of concern that the balance of power in the Senate could shift at that time.
The 81-year-old Kennedy has been the crucial swing vote for more than 10 years. President Trump is widely expected to name a conservative nominee, changing the balance of power in the high court to a reliably conservative majority. The Supreme Court has dealt a potentially devastating blow to organized labor,
overturning laws in 22 states allowing public sector unions to collect what are called agency fees from non-union members. The laws allowed those unions to collect money from non-members for services they benefit from, things like collective bargaining.
That's correspondent Wally Hines. Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute cheers the Supreme Court decision.
This is a huge win for the workers of America. It's a huge win specifically for those who work for government employers.
The court effectively overturning laws in 22 states requiring non-union members to make payments to government unions even when they don't support them and their policies. House Republicans have rejected a compromise immigration bill, 112 Republicans voting against the bill. It was supported by leadership and President Trump. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 30 points. This is SRN News.
In St. Johns County, heading northbound on I-95, just beyond County Road 210, be on the lookout for some roadway debris there. You might have to slow down in a hurry. Also, there's an accident near downtown I-95 northbound, the ramp to downtown. That left lane is blocked. Also on I-95 northbound at University Boulevard, another accident blocking the right lane. A chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight. Low 75 Thursday, partly sunny and hot. High 95.
Back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary, Cody at the wheel, keeping us in line. Cody, you know I'm just teasing you, right, buddy? You're a good guy.
There's a celebration going on right now.
Yes, yeah. There is.
There's a celebration going on. And again, for those who might just be tuning in, Reverend Billy Graham, Dr. Billy Graham, I think he just likes being called Billy, actually. Mm-hmm. He passed on to glory. He's up there with his beloved Ruth, with the Father, and with Jesus. And I'm excited for him. Can you imagine closing your eyes?
The Christ that he has preached for over 70 years.
Yeah, and you wonder why, because for the last 3 or 4 years, he's not been able to do a lot, you know, like physically. He's just really gotten, but, you know, Leighton had shared one time about a year ago with me about how he, you know, he was singing. He couldn't speak a whole lot, but he was trying to sing, you know, something, and it was really special. You know, I like singing. I think it's good. You know, I think sometimes you know, one guy asked me, why don't you guys sing at SWAT? I said, well, have you heard us? You know, I mean, but no, just the, but the thing is, you know, and I don't know if you saw this, this thing was going around. It was kind of viral about music, worship music today, worship music yesterday. I mean, yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the words, and it had today just had the same chorus 10 times, la, 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 you know, like we love you, Lord, la, 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 mm-hmm. over and over. But yesteryear was a mighty fortress is our God.
Yeah.
And it had all the words that had that deep theology behind it. And, you know, some of those great hymns. What I'd love to see is some of these, and they sometimes people do this, is take some of those old hymns and kind of put some different music to it if they want. Yeah. But to take the theology of those old hymns and put there, because I think we miss out on some of that stuff. Kind of a lot of our theology in the songs that we sing today is very emotive. It's very
man-centered,
experiential, that kind of thing. But I want to get back, Brad, to this passage that we were talking about in Acts 20, where Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. Now, he's getting ready. He's telling them goodbye. And he's getting ready to go back, and he's going to Jerusalem, and they're begging him not to go because this prophet named Agabus had told him what awaits him there is, you know, imprisonment. In fact, the Holy Spirit told him that. Mm. And he says that in this passage. If you got, do you have it?
I do.
Acts 20, would you read that?
Yeah, you want me to, 22?
Through 24.
Okay. And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction await me.
Okay, stop right there. So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to India back in October. So when I ask you to go, one of the first questions people ask me, you didn't ask me this, by the way, but was it safe? So let's reverse that and let's say, Brad, hey, listen, I really want you to go to India. And by the way, there is a really good probability. In fact, I can almost guarantee, because I was praying and I just sensed that this is going to happen, we're going to get thrown in jail. And, you know, we may get beaten for going over there. Would that have affected your decision? Now, this is live on air, and this
is—I
mean, so this is a real. This is where the gut-wrenching part of this comes out, because the truth is, Brad, that I think it affects all of us,
and
I know you don't mind me putting you on the spot, because
the answer, you're absolutely right. It would probably affect me,
because you think. What, tell me the first thought that goes through your head when you hear that. If that were the case, if we were going.
Well, probably my family, my wife, my children, my grandchildren.
You start thinking about all those things, but here's the problem with our thinking that. It's almost as if we think we can do a better job of caring for them than God can if he chooses to bring us home.
Right.
Or even in our absence, that God can't somehow minister to them through the body or through other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how we have this almost micromanagement control of God in our life, and it really is a problem for us here, unlike other places that we see in the world.
Yeah, no doubt. I know that I've shared this on air. I've shared this at SWAT, you know, when we were going through a few chapters back about the preeminence of Christ and how I was sitting in this very chair when you asked me a few months back, hey, you want to go to India? And I mean,
And to your credit, you didn't check your calendar.
Well, that my typical habit, and if you're listening out there, just think about this. If you're asked to go do something, dinner on Saturday night with somebody, you know, a ministry event coming up, what's the first thing we do? I mean, what is the first thing you do when you are invited to go do something ministry, gospel-centered? You know, even dinner with somebody,
or even the Spirit moving you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess. You know, the other night, last night, I had some guys that had been working on my house, on the trees in our yard, we had to cut down some dead trees and stuff. And there was a lot of distraction, a lot of stuff. And instead of having the normal amount of time that I would have had to complete the study for my time today at SWAT, I found myself needing a couple of hours last night. Well, those men were still there outside. And as I was eating dinner with my family, I felt impressed to go share the gospel with them because I hadn't done that. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, but if I go outside and do that, I'm not going to be here with my family eating, first of all. And then second, when I go out there, it, depending upon how long that takes, you know, and their questions and interaction, then I'm going to come back and it's going to be 9 o'clock and I'm getting up at 4:30 and I'm like, so I'm wrestling in my spirit and I just can't say no because I know that's what God's wanting to do. And I shouldn't have to wrestle at all with it, to be honest with you, as much as I've seen God do and provide. But I was wrestling, and then I go out and I do it. Now, and they didn't pray to trust Christ right there or whatever. But when I walked back in and I started finishing up and getting ready for tomorrow, and I was tired and I was walking, I just asked the Lord, Lord, you take this time, you bless it. And I worked on it as long as I could, went to bed, and I come back. But the next morning I got up and it was like he allowed it to work out for me to be able to have a refinement that I needed and provide what I needed to be able to teach today. But I felt like I'd been obedient to what he wanted me to do. And I thought about what if I had not done that? It's hard for me to stand up and teach anybody about being obedient in the big things when we're not obedient in the small things. And I know what he impressed me to do last night. And so you may be listening and wrestling through this. And the reason I asked Brad is because Brad and I've known each other a long time. And I know this is a struggle for everybody. So if you say, well, I'll go over there and I'll go be thrown in prison, give me a call. I'll sign you up and we're going to go to some places like that because that's what God is, you know, he has needs for that. But, and you know, you may never have to be beaten for Christ. You may never have to go in jail. I don't wish it on anybody. But our attitude should be like, if God wants me to, that is a worthy thing according to what the disciples said, that he would count us worthy to suffer for him, you know. And so I think we all have different ways that we suffer for Christ, different things that he puts demands on our life. You know, I think personally, just talking about Billy Graham, I think it was a pretty big weight, the expectations of America on him as a, quote, pastor to the presidents, as a pastor who preached in all these places. I think that was a pretty big weight on his family life, on his being a father and a husband. And, you know, it's different for all of us. You have a different weight than I have. But if we're really surrendered to Christ, he says what? Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. My burden is light. My yoke is easy.
Yeah.
You know? So I still, it would have made an impact though on you, you know, you're saying.
No doubt. I mean, and I think that's, kind of goes back to some of the things we've been talking about, even when Jesus said, you know, when those three guys said, hey, I'll follow you. But they all had a reason. It was kind of on their timetable. You know, it's, and I think we're very much the same way, you know.
So how do you work through that?
I'll go share with that guy, but I need to finish this up first.
Yeah, so how do you work through that on a practical level,
Brad? Well, I think it's prayer, Doug. I really do. And I think even just in you sharing what you just shared, I think there are times as we're in the Word, as we're not, I think our biggest struggle, and careful what I'm going to say here, but when I think about what the culture that we live in, there are so many things coming at us, you know, 24-hour news, you know, social media. I'm not saying eliminate all that. I'm just saying, how much information is coming in?
Because if it's not the majority of truth being the word.
Yeah, how much spiritual input are we getting as compared to the worldly input?
Because, listen, if I'm allowing Fox News to shape my mind, I'm probably not going to be pricked by the Holy Spirit to go share Christ with somebody who's at my house.
Hmm.
I mean, that's just the way I view it. And I think that as we submit and submerge ourselves in the Word, God changes our affections. He changes our desires and our appetite.
I think you're right. And when we come back, I want us to look at Colossians 3, 1 through 3, what Paul talks about, putting on this new self, if we are his, and seeing how what you're just talking about will help us set our minds on things above when we come back.
Love that verse. All right, join us today, 904-401-1413.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Hey, folks, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary. Doug, you know, if you're listening and you're not in your car, Colossians 3, we're going to look at that real quick. You were talking about just kind of dropping that one on me.
because you and I didn't talk. That was not a planned question, or it just like it struck me as we were talking about that because I was thinking about your trip over there. And even in light of anybody, I don't care who it is, to say, hey, beatings and imprisonment await you. Mm-hmm. Any person with any kind of family responsibilities back here is going to think, oh, my goodness, I didn't know we were going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, we don't count the cost, Doug. I mean, in reality. I mean, we do. Listen, I've been meeting with clients this morning, this afternoon before I came up here on real estate matters. You know, there's always a cost associated with selling a piece of property or buying a piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a professional at what I do, I am very clear as to what the costs are when you're making that transaction. We don't do that when we share the gospel with people.
Mm-hmm.
We give them, you know, we give them all the fluff and the good stuff, and not to say that suffering for Christ isn't a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But in our culture, that's not a good thing, you know?
Well, Brad, I just sat with a guy after the SWAT meeting today, and he says, you know, I'm grieved. He goes, because I was talking to a church about SWAT, and a guy goes, just what we need, another Bible study. And he goes, you don't get it.
Mm-mm.
You don't get it, because SWAT, to us is not a Bible study. SWAT to us is a gathering of men around the Word of God for the purpose of encouraging each other to be spiritual warriors. And, you know, he gave a great encouragement today. He said, you know what? I'd follow you guys into battle. And I would be there with you, which is exactly the whole purpose of what we're about, equipping and encouraging men who follow Christ to be the warriors God intended us to be. And I just want to remind people that there are five core elements of SWAT that we really believe strongly in. One is God's word. It is our authority. It is the starting point. And it's not just God's word. It's valuing God's word in its proper place. That means when you hear something from God's word, like we just read, okay, and even looking at what Paul says, you know, he said imprisonment awaits me. We didn't finish that last part. I want to just read it real quick in Acts 20, where he, after he says that, because I kind of stopped us, sorry, I cut you off, because we were talking about that, in Acts 20, verse 22, and he goes, but I do not account my life of any value. And that's exactly the issue. When you are thinking about your family and who's going to provide, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm so valuable to God in this capacity that I'm irreplaceable. Mm. Can I just say that none of us are irreplaceable? Does that make sense? Did I say that right?
You absolutely did. It's just,
can I
say
that?
One to swallow,
can I say
right?
that? Is that okay to say, Cody? I mean, that none of us are irreplaceable. Now, we have a hard time with that, especially when we've been married as long as we have or have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, that generated a call. There, we got a call on that one. But it says, I do not account my life of any value nor of precious to myself, if only I may finish my course, the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And I mean, that is so beautiful what Paul says, but it's truth.
Well, I immediately think of Billy Graham, the ministry that he's been entrusted with. It's not a seasonal thing.
No.
It's not, well, I feel like it today, or, you know, for the last 5 years, I've done this.
Or the summer's a good time. You know what? I think I'll go to Hawaii in the summertime on a mission trip. And listen, I really don't want to minimize ministry in Hawaii.
No.
I'm just making a point that, you know what? When we count the cost, that's why this Colossians passage is so important, because Paul says to the Colossians, if then you've been raised with Christ, then seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And Brad, if we go back to the question I ask you, when you tell me you're thinking about your family, you're thinking about their provision, their protection, is that a thing of the earth?
Totally.
It is.
Totally.
And he says, listen, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. See, that should be at the forefront of everything that we think about. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we just get so sidetracked in our culture.
Well, I was thinking of Paul's words in Ephesians 4, where he says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self.
The new self, which thinks about things above.
Exactly. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness.
And you're not your own, Paul says.
Yeah.
In Romans 8:9, we've been bought with a price. And so God's word is the starting point. Prayer is the next core value, devotionally, and we're interceding for each other. We're connecting with each other. Community, that's another authentic, regular band of brothers meeting around the word. Discipleship, intentional relationships based on the centrality of the gospel. And here it is, a mutual encouragement to be like Jesus, not just to go to church, not just to be at a study, but to be like Jesus. And then evangelism, prayerful, intentional sharing Christ, reaching out to the lost. Those are the core values. And Brad, that unfortunately is not a part of most Bible studies.
Well, I was unable to make the SWAT Bible study today, but I concur with my friend from the Bible study about the fact that, you know, to hear a church say, all we need is another Bible study, that's exactly what we need.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need another program. We need to be in the Word.
Yeah.
Constantly.
As men, in community, around the concept, or the priority, actually, of evangelism and discipleship. That unfortunately is not happening a lot.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we do have a caller. I want to take this call. Hey, John, are you out there, buddy?
I am.
Welcome, man. Good to have you.
How are you doing today, man?
Man, we are doing great. Doing great.
You know, you were talking about going to India and having this looming idea over you that you might go to prison or you might get hurt. And I remember as a young child talking to my mom and reading a book about the end times and saying, you know, if you live in the tribulation and you name the name of Christ, you're going to get your head chopped off.
Mm.
And I always thought about that. I'm living for Jesus. And if I have to, what's it going to be like if I get my head chopped off? But while I was thinking about that, God kind of put this thought in my heart. If he ever puts me in that position, he will give me the grace to go through with that. And I think about those, I think it was 12 guys that were lined up on the side of a river that the ISIS cut their throats.
Yeah.
And somebody told me, one of them wasn't even a Christian, but he said, I'm going to go with those guys.
Hmm.
It's kind of like the thief on the cross, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he did. He did. He was from Africa, and what he said was, they said, will you confess Muhammad and accept Islam? And he said, their God is my God, because he had seen them all testify and lose their life at that moment. And they said, well, you will die. And he said, their God is my God. And he gave his life there too. You know,
if you are totally dedicated to the Lord Jesus, and I know you guys are, and this is what you're trying to teach people, but if you're totally dedicated to the Lord, you are going to do those things that are on the Lord's agenda. And if God calls you to a mission field where nobody's ever been and there's headhunters, then you're going to go there, like Jim Elliot did many years ago back in the 1950s.
Yep.
When he got killed. There are so many stories of people who have had the call of God, and they know that they go someplace, they're going to get killed. But, man, just like Billy Graham today, he died, but he didn't die. He started living.
Yeah, he didn't die. You're right. He just began the rest of eternity with his king, man. That's
exactly. The minute that we leave this earth, whether it's through a violent killing, whether it's through an accident on the freeway, whether it's through a gunshot, through a stray bullet, whether it's through somebody slicing our throats, you know, we're going to die one of these days. That's a given. It's, you know, that's.
Wait a minute, John. Wait, you mean statistically, like one out of one die? Actually, it's a 0.9999999999 out of one die, because we got Elijah who didn't die, and we got Enoch who was translated up. So, you know,
and we got the promise that those who are alive and remain when the trumpet calls, they're not going to die either.
That's right.
Yeah,
but they still had to die to themselves. They had to die. You know, we die either once or twice.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But guys, I just appreciate you bringing these things up, because it's something so often not heard. There's a guy who works with Voice of the Martyrs and writes books.
We got about 1 minute, John.
Well, anyways.
Are you talking about Fox's Martyrs, or are you talking about Richard Wurmbrand?
No, I'm not Richard Wurmbrand. It's another guy today who's writing books about stories of people in Iraq and Iran who are walking with Jesus in the face of Islam.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it takes somebody to say, hey, that's where Jesus wants me. I know that he protects me.
Hey, do me a favor. Get that title of the book and email us or call us back with that title.
It's called Killing Christians, I believe.
Okay.
I think we have that.
Yeah, I think we do. Hey, thank you, John, for your call.
John, good to hear from you. You know, I was thinking about this, and maybe we can pick this up tomorrow, is this idea that we pray about that will be rescued or relieved or, you know, gotten out of prison or whatever, and yet so many that are in there are having an impact on the guards or whoever it is. And listen, we don't know where God's going to put you.
Well, the Chinese pastor said, don't pray for our release, pray for our faithfulness. Hey,
join us tomorrow.
SWAT Radio.
Yep.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com.